God,
God,
grant
grant
me
me
the
the
serenity
serenity
to
to
accept
accept
the
the
things
things
I
I
cannot
cannot
change,
change, the
the
courage
courage
to
to
change
change
the
the things
things
I
I
can,
can,
and
and
the
the
wisdom
wisdom
to
to know
know
the
the difference.
difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance tonight. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
James.
Hey,
Hey,
James.
James. Welcome.
Welcome.
Well, glad you're here.
Anybody else? Okay, on Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Is anyone visiting from out of town or new to the meeting? Okay. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This is from the forward to the first edition of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, we are discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Albert S. from AA 101 and Aubrey Mick from, is it
Nemo
MC?
Parkway.
From Nemo Parkway. Is your last name MC?
Nope.
I don't know. I've made it up.
Take it.
Albert and Aubrey.
Love it.
I will read the first paragraph on page 84, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. I don't know who's going first.
Albert.
Albert.
Good evening, everyone. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Albert. My sobriety date is October 13th, 2019. My home group is AA 101. I have a sponsor. I have the privilege of sponsoring others in the program, and I have a couple of service positions as well. So step 10. When I went through the steps the first time, it was interesting to me now when I look back on it. I really took like a very academic approach to the steps, which was, like I was going to read it and know it and understand it and have the knowledge of the step and do my homework that my sponsor taught me and get my little gold star and be like, okay, check, that step is done and move forward. I did that through all of the steps, and it's so surprising to me now. But when I look back, I missed I missed the real point of so many of the steps. Getting a relationship with a higher power that wasn't myself, because I was still very much relying on myself. The continuing to take inventory that is emphasized in step 10. A lot of these things just, I don't know how escaped me the first time. I guess, on God's time, I wasn't, really ready at that point. And that did lead to a couple relapses. And then when I, this time around, going back through the steps, I had a different experience with it, and really, my sponsor had me focusing on living this program and not just trying to understand this stuff. I that's who I am. I'm a very black and white person. I expect to learn something, to master it, and move on. What I've learned is most of AA is not that. It is not just mastering anything. It is really understanding the spiritual principles behind these steps and incorporating that into my life in a way that I had never done up until this point. So what strikes me now with step 10 and what is the most important thing to me is this continue to take personal inventory. I think part of the reason why it escaped me the first time is that I didn't really fully grasp what it meant to be an alcoholic. And that is without, even without the drink in my system, I am still going to be an alcoholic, right? Separated from alcohol, I am still an alcoholic. The alcoholism is the disease in which I cannot escape. Every day I wake up, I am still a human being. I am still an alcoholic. So even though I was physically removed from alcohol, that was not the solution to my alcoholism. And now, I recognize that being an alcoholic, I'm always going to need some kind of solution in my life. I'm going to crave ease and comfort in some way. I'm gonna mess up at work, lie about something or avoid work. I'm going to cause damage in friendships and relationships, whatever the case may be. Like I'm not anywhere near perfect. But those are the things that, if left unchecked, will start to build up, and I'll start to, become shameful about who I am and embarrassed about my actions. And I want to escape. I won't want to live in the world amongst people anymore. I want to disassociate. And my number one solution for all of that is alcohol. So I've learned how, just living life day to day and how I interact with people in the world, that if I don't use the tools of this program, especially step 10 and take an inventory, that all those things are going to start piling up around me again like they did before. And I've got to rely on the solution that I've been taught in this program, my higher power, because if I don't go that way, I'm going to go back to alcohol, and that means death for me. So that's something I got.
Exciting. Hey everybody, I'm Aubrey. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Aubrey.
My sobriety date is June 17th, 2019. I have a sponsor. My home group is Nemo Parkway in Virginia Beach on Thursdays. You guys are all welcome. I am also I have the privilege of sponsoring others, and I am also involved in service work. So I don't know, Albert, you felt so I don't want to say innocent, right? But like you were so like positive, and I find myself sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of times still full of anger and self-pity that doesn't need to exist, but here we are. And so as you were speaking, I started to look, this is the paragraph that comes right after the ninth step promises. And something that always struck me with the ninth step promises is that it says, we will be amazed, if we are painstaking about this process, we'll be amazed before we are halfway through. And I'm like, hey, halfway through is step six, not step nine, dummies, right? Because I know everything, but it's not talking about halfway of the steps, right? It's talking about halfway through ninth step, but also halfway through your journey in AA. And spoiler alert, there is no halfway because it is a lifetime. So, you know, it talks about all these things that we're going to get, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Dot, dot, dot. Most of the time it will, because then it talks to me about step 10, which is new mistakes are going to happen. I am going to be a disaster a little bit every day. I am only going to be able to continue this process and continue recovery as long as I stay rooted in the steps, rooted in the big book, rooted in exactly what this program tells me to do. Right. And it doesn't say after all these promises, are these extravagant promises? We think not. Right after that, it's like, hey, you still have work to do, right? I have to vigorously commence this way of living, and I've cleaned up the past, but this is not an overnight matter, right? And it's not telling me that anything from here on out is going to be an overnight matter. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And some days I'm better at that than others. Some days I wake up and I'm like, I'm going to be a member of society and I'm going to help others. And I immediately pray. And I ask God to remove any kind of feelings of anger or resentment that crop up. And other days I wake up and I'm ready to burn it to the ground. The good thing about this paragraph, though, it says that as soon as something crops up, we immediately make amends if we've harmed anybody, and discuss them with someone, right? So it tells me exactly what I need to do, right? What I should do is call my sponsor every time I am full of anger and you know, unnecessary resentment. Do I do that? No. Right? Because I'm an alcoholic and I'm an idiot. And because I know that she's going to tell me to do things or tell me to pray, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to do the work sometimes, right? I want to sit around and feel sorry for myself because that's easier. But ultimately, I'm not going to grow and I'm not going to continue this process for a lifetime. What's going to happen is I'm eventually going to drink, right? It may not happen today or tomorrow, but it's going to happen. If I don't turn my thoughts back to my higher power, and if I don't stay rooted in this program, and there's so many stories of people who are in the rooms for years and then leave and don't come back, and I don't want to get to that point, right? So I have to constantly remind myself to turn my will over to my higher power, and to also ask how I can help others. Right? It is not all about me, despite what I think most of the time. Love and tolerance of others is our code, right? That's how this paragraph ends. I should have that tattooed on my forehead, but because love and tolerance is not always my code, I wish it were. But as the book tells me, if I discuss these issues immediately with someone and make amends, then I can continue for another day living in the sunlight of the spirit. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to continue on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
Cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. I think I feel that a lot of us can't really pinpoint when we stopped thinking about alcohol. I know that to be the case for myself. It didn't even really dawn on me until someone said something in a meeting, said something on a phone call or something, and I stopped and thought, wow, like I don't remember the last time I actually thought about alcohol, which was drastically different than when I was actively drinking, because it was like my only thought. I mean, every single waking moment, waking up terrified from, what I had done or said the night before and swearing off drinking, to, the acute withdrawal setting in the morning, and having to take sedatives, like in the story, and to calm my nerves, to then, that magic time somewhere in the afternoon when all of a sudden it turned away from like the terror of the night before to like, you know what, a drink sounds like a great idea, and then it was the obsession of like, how am I going to get it? Am I going to have to, scour the couch for change and drive my bike up to the ABC store again because I didn't have any gas in my car. And then lied to the ABC clerk that I was starting to work on my fitness, and that's why I had driven my bike up to the ABC store. Definitely happened. By the way, if the ABC store clerk starts coming out from behind the counter to give you a hug when they see you, it might be time to start going to a new one. I knew all about like her cancer treatment and everything. Yeah, we were really tight. But I do remember too, I was in a in the grocery store, and I was down the beer and wine aisle for something. I don't know what was on the side, like candy or magazines, whatever that random aisle was that they put next to it. And I was looking, and I turned around and was like, oh, there's beer here. Like it's just so random. Like I hadn't even like consciously was aware of it. But yeah, that in itself was, an amazing gift of coming into AA and starting to work through the steps with a sponsor, is having that obsession with alcohol be lifted. But I will say it, it was replaced with anxiety at first when I went from steps one to two. Anxiety of, well, what do I do now? What is my solution now? If I can't drink, how do I celebrate things? How do I, commiserate if, something drastic happens and I, somebody dies or whatever the case may be? Like, how am I supposed to deal with these things? And, I was taken through steps two and three, and ultimately taught that the solution to that was having a higher power and forming a relationship, a personal relationship with that higher power, and relying on that and leaning on them to replace alcohol as a solution in my life. And I have to cultivate that relationship every day as well, because without it, then I start thinking that, all the promises, right, and the gifts, like even in the 10-step promises, all these gifts that have come out of this, that I've been the one that has produced this in my life, and that is not the case at all. I can, I know where I lead me, and it's not to this life that I have today. So I have to be reminded of that. And this position of neutrality, safe and protected, earlier, well, I guess it was last year now, since we're in 2025, the thing that I had always thought in coming into recovery about, what am I going to do if this thing happens, was my mom passing away. And was I going to be able to make it through that without needing a drink? And she did pass in July of last year, and that was my one big ticket item. Like, am I going to be able to make it through that without wanting to drink, without, without picking up? And I did, and it was amazing, because the thought really, as other people share when they go through big events like that, like the thought never crossed my mind to drink. It was all about how can I be of service to my mom as she was getting close to my family, just helping make sure everybody else was okay during that time. And that's wonderful and a beautiful gift of this program, because I couldn't have produced that on my own. But as it, you know, this paragraph ends, we have to keep in fit spiritual condition. Like, I have to be reminded, whether that's talking to another alcoholic, going to a meeting, doing a daily 10 step, 11 step. Like, I have to be reminded that it is through the actions of this program and these steps that all of these gifts have been given to me. Because if not, then, you know, very quickly do I think that I'm the one producing these results. And yeah, need to avoid that. So thanks.
Thanks. No, I like, first of all, that your solution when the ABC clerk recognize you, it's not maybe I should hit a meeting, it's or maybe I'm an alcoholic, it's I gotta find a new store, because
Yes.
I don't know how many of you, but I was like, ooh, they're gonna recognize me and think I have a problem, but I don't have a problem. So I'm gonna go at different hours, I'm gonna go to a different one. I don't know. Like they did not give a shit at all that I was coming in to buy cheap wine several times a week. But in my head, they definitely were. I remember when I first came in thinking that there was no way that this feeling of neutrality would happen, right? That I would just not think about drinking every day. I never understood in the beginning, like, wait, you don't want me to drink, and now you want me to sit in these sad church basements and you want me to talk about not drinking? Like, that sounds miserable. It never seemed feasible or possible that I would just be in this. I'm not going to recoil from it. I'm not even going to think about it, but it really does happen, and I could not pinpoint when it did. Even when I used to get the dreams where I drank. Where I'd wake up and I had been drunk and like, oh my God. Even now, if those happen, they happen less frequently, but every once in a while it happens and it's less shocking to my system. So, in the beginning, if I had a dream where I drank, I was concerned, oh my God, I'm not doing enough in the program, or this means I'm gonna drink. Now it's like, oh God, that sucked. But then you just kind of move on. And again, I haven't even sworn off. Instead, it's just been removed. So that is the one thing that was shocking, but came true without me even realizing. What was much harder was staying in a spiritually fit condition, right? That is has been much harder, right? As we talked about in the previous paragraph, is there's always going to be things that crop up. But there's always somebody in the rooms that has been through something. I always used to, say, well, if something ever happened to my husband or my kids, then I would immediately start drinking again. And then people like Albert go through something horrible, and stay sober. And it reminds you that this program works, right? Like, okay, he's like I am, and I can make this work too. And there's so many people in this community that it's mind-blowing how close we become and how much the fellowship matters, because this is not an I program, it's a we program. I mean, shoot, in this paragraph alone, it's in there, I've got it underlined. It's we, right? We have to do this together, because to be alone is to die. And it's not easy, but it is simple. And we just have to continue to remain focused, right? And I have to keep in a spiritually fit condition, because if not, I'll take back over my will. And that's a dumpster fire waiting to happen at all times, right? So, it's always mind-blowing to see the same thing. I can walk by the alcohol aisle at the grocery store and it doesn't even occur to me. That doesn't mean that I am no longer an alcoholic. I absolutely am and will always will be. But it is nice to not be in constant fear about the alcohol. Instead, I have to, sometimes force myself to be of service to others, because it doesn't mean I'm always going to be a nice person, but at least the desire to have constant alcohol has been removed. And that's a pretty nice feeling. So that's all I got.
All right, we're going to move over to page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Aubrey and I were just laughing up here because my sober family knows that this first line here is like the bane of my existence. In the whole book, easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. I don't know why the rest on our laurels part really gets me, even to this day. As much as I love AA in this program, rest on our laurels, it's like a thorn in my side. And I think it's because I really like to be, I don't even, I used to think to say I'd like to be lazy, but I'm not a lazy person. I am a very productive person, but I'm productive in the ways that I want to be. Like, I want to do what I want when I want to do it. I want it to be convenient to me. I call my sponsor and, she calls me back and I'm in the middle of watching TV and I might let it go to voicemail.
Valid.
So, oh, shoot, she might be online watching. Sorry, Ebony.
Do that to me.
No, ma'am,
Yes,
not
he
at
does.
all.
Yes, he does. For sure, he
No.
does.
Right here, it says give Amy credit for everything. It is that's probably one of my chief character defects is wanting to do what I want to do on my time. It has been a big learning curve for me to give that up and to really live in God's world on God's time. I do find that when I'm at that level of surrender of just thinking about how I can be of use, God, thy will, not mine, be done. It is amazing. I was just talking to a friend before the meeting, talking about I wish I could stay in that place of gratitude at all times, because I came in here like really thinking in my head about all the stuff I have to do this week and like woe is me and self-pity and stuff. And I'm like, man, it would be so great to stay in that place of, gratitude where, that really good one where it's like when I leave here, I'll feel really great, for a little while. And then, somebody will cut me off and then it'll, go from there. But, I wish I could stay in that place of surrender. But I don't. But it is just like so much of what I have learned in this program, right? It's like I have to have faith and hope that if I take the next action right or do the next right action, whatever the case may be, that God's going to take care of me and the results are going to be the best outcome possible, even if it's not what I wanted it to be. Going through the steps, I used to drive my sponsor crazy because I would want to know, well, what am I supposed to get out of this basically? Like, what is the end result of doing this? And she would tell me, just do it. like you have to have the faith and just do it. And it would come true. I'd be able to like look back and go, oh, I get it now. I see what the purpose was. I feel the results of this. Every day, I have to remind myself and be reminded that that level of surrender is going to get me into that best place of, peace and freedom, that I'm looking for. The whole, how much pain do I want to be in? It's funny because I hear myself saying that to other people in the program. Well, how much pain do you want to be in? It's the same thing for me. It's like either I can surrender and do the next right thing and take the actions that I need to, or I can rest on my laurels and do what I think is the right thing, or the best thing for me in that moment, and it doesn't feel good. And I think that's mind-boggling to me still to this day, but I have to remember I was 31, I think, when I first came into AA. So that was like 9 years ago. And this way of thinking is, contradicts how I was brought up. It was very much like I have to, use my willpower to do, to master everything and pull myself up by my bootstraps and all of that. So relying on something else just doesn't seem right to me. Excuse me, it conflicts with that. So it's definitely unlearning those behaviors and those ways of thinking. But I can't expect that it's going to be an overnight matter, right? Like the reading says, the only way that it's going to get easier, get more effective, is for me to continue doing this every single day. Like it says, it's a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance. The maintenance is I have to continue doing the steps, and doing the inventory. So thanks.
Thanks, Albert. This paragraph is so powerful. I think because of the word laurels, and Albert hates it, it's my favorite thing. But I like this. Like, we're headed for trouble if we do, because alcohol is a subtle foe. I remember hearing somebody told me alcoholism is the only disease that constantly tries to convince you that you don't have it. And it's so true, right? So many times, when I was drinking, I was like, this is probably not normal. But then halfway through the day, I'm like, is it time for a drink yet? I'd always forget about the pain and agony of last week. And every time I said I was going to stop being out of control, I really did mean it. That's the craziest part, is I meant every bit of it when I was like, I'm not going to get out of control. I am not going to get blackout drunk. And that went out the window the moment that I had the first drink the next time, right? And so alcohol will always be a subtle foe. And this next sentence, we are not cured of alcoholism. We never will be. The daily reprieve in the definition I have written down is the delay to delay the punishment of. So the daily reprieve is all I'm doing every day, if I am staying spiritually fit, is I'm delaying the punishment. It is all the delay of the punishment is only going to last as long as I'm doing the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And that's very freeing, because again, it's this program telling me, hey, as long as I do what you guys say, as long as I stay in constant contact with my higher power and participate in this program and participate in life, I can delay the punishment that alcohol has for me, because it's still there, right? The punishment is always going to be there. But I have that daily reprieve as long as I stay spiritually fit. Every day is a day that we must carry the vision of God's will. That was a big struggle in the beginning of how do I tell the difference between God's will and my will, right? How do I know that this is what God wants versus what I want? Because in the beginning, I was definitely God. And, I realized, through the fellowship and talking to my sponsor, it was like, hey, when I'm following God's will, it's easy. There's not chaos, right? I am not seeing chaos. Sometimes it felt weird in the beginning because I'm like, why is everything so chill? And I was like, that's called serenity. That's called peace, right? And I'm like, I don't like it. But that's God's will, right? If I am doing the next right thing, it's easy. And even when something is very difficult, I'll give you an example. This weekend, I had kind of a whole plan of things that was going to happen, right? And it was a very packed weekend. And in the middle of the day, I got a phone call that I needed to go into work in 4 hours, and I was going to need to work an 8-hour shift. And so that threw my whole plan out the window. And I was immediately overwhelmed and was like, what the fuck? Right. And so, I told my husband, I was like, let me collect my thoughts, let me pray a little bit, and it now I can see God's will much quicker, right? Is like, hey, there's a reason that all this is happening. I don't know what it is right now, but I know that me complaining and getting in my feelings about it isn't going to change. My ass is still going into work. So I can get over it, and that what I had planned was to go and help out a friend. And so I had to call her and say, hey, I can't go. And I was able to talk to her later in the day. And I think it worked out for the best that she was able to go and take care of that alone, right? So those are all things that before I would have lied and found ways to get out of it and do what I want to do because I'm going to justify it. Like, well, I'm helping a friend, so I have to lie and get out of this. Well, that's bullshit, right? I was also going to lie just to lie, right? There were lies that were coming out of my mouth. I wasn't even positive what was true or not, right? And I don't have to do that because now if I'm following God's will, it's easy, right? And this part of the thoughts of if I'm saying, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. This is the proper use of my will. And I have written here is we need the willpower to do, I need the willpower to do the stuff that I don't want to do, right? Essentially, I row and God steers, right? Is I can't just get in the boat and be like, okay, take me, God, right? I have to row. I have to be a participant in life. I still have to get up. I still have to, be there for family and friends. I still have to be a good steward. I have to participate in work, right? That is the proper use of the will. It's when I want my big emotions to take over, or when I want to be in charge, when it's none of my business, or I'm ready to jump in. That's not the right thing. That's not what God wants. That's not what my higher power is asking me to do. He's asking me, and my God curses at me. I don't know about yours, but he's asking me to chill the fuck out and just be at ease and let things happen, right? Because as I will always have the daily reprieve as long as I am maintaining my spiritual condition. So that's all I got.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to continue on page 85. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
Sense the flow of his spirit into us and this God conscious. Aubrey mentioned something in when you were last speaking about how do I recognize God's will for me versus like my will? I used to think about that as well, and I hate to say it, but it's again, for me, it goes back to surrendering versus forcing. The like perfect example that I have for this is my ex-fiance was staying on my couch, and I started dating someone, and I was scared to let the guy I was dating know that my ex was sleeping on my couch. And I prayed about it, should I tell him, should I not? And then I start surveying my fellows in the rooms, and everyone was telling me to be honest, like, tell him. And I was like, okay, thank you for that. Okay, Aubrey. And I just went around and I kept asking, and everybody kept saying the same thing, let him know. And I was like, man, if that's not me trying to force my will right now, I mean, God's literally like shaking me, like, listen, like I'm communicating through your fellows. If I'm fighting, if I feel that, and that's something that has developed over time by doing this work, this God conscious, some people refer to it as like a moral compass again. I've developed a gut feeling again now. And it And maybe that gut feeling was always there, and I just wasn't listening to it. But I have an aversion to stuff now. You know, I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. You know, I don't like it when I, not always at first, right? But and maybe some time afterwards. But like, you know, if I lie or, you know, I don't know, manipulate a situation, if I just go against the grain of life, you know, in whatever shape. A lot of times I feel an aversion to that now. And to me that is that God consciousness, you know, and sometimes it's an internal feeling where I'm like, oh man, I done messed up now. Sometimes it shows up when I do a nightly review and I'm looking back at the day and I realize, oh yeah, you know what, maybe I didn't handle that the best I should have. And a lot of times it comes from talking to, you know, fellows in the program. Thankfully I have, you know, a group of people that I'm close with that I stay in close contact with in the program. So they know what's going on in my life and are pretty familiar with stuff. So, you know, when I'm talking through some stuff, they're apt to point out maybe some things that, you know, I'm not doing right, or maybe that, you know, I need to look at a little bit more carefully in a 10 step. But, you know, those are some of the ways that my higher power speaks to me. This God consciousness has formed. And I've learned to listen to those things now because, you know, in the however many years I've been in AA now, I have seen the products of not listening to God's will. You know, I thought that same ex that was staying on my couch, I thought I was making a living amends by allowing him to temporarily stay on my couch. And 3 years later, he was still on my couch. And I hadn't talked to my sponsor before I did it. And it was one of those, like, okay, well, let me know how that works out for you kind of situations. It didn't. It worked out great for him, but not so much for me. So, yeah, the flow of the spirit, it is a vital sixth sense now because that's, and I don't know, maybe. I don't know if people who don't have to come into this program, right, who have to, don't have to, you know, be in recovery and don't have this alcoholism. Maybe they have this vital sixth sense. I don't know. But somebody said something in my home group meeting the other night that made me think about this. And I hadn't thought about it for a while. But all throughout my life, I had felt like there was something missing, that I was seeking something. And I now recognize that it was that connection with other people, that connection with something greater than myself. I remember within, you know, doing the first couple of steps, maybe the first 6 months of being in recovery, talking to my mom and being like, isn't it crazy that this whole time I didn't even realize I was searching for something? And of all places to find it, I found it in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, like I had to be an alcoholic to find this piece of the puzzle I was missing. And it's this connection with this higher power. And now I crave it. You know, I look forward to those moments where I feel like, you know, that relationship is strong between myself and my higher power. What was it? Maybe a year and a half ago, I was really getting into going back through the steps and having a new experience, especially with step 10 and doing inventories daily and as I needed to throughout the day. I remember talking to my sponsor, like, man, this can be overwhelming, you know, constantly recognizing like, oh shoot, now I got to do an inventory on that. Now I've got another resentment. I need to do another inventory. I'm like, doesn't it ever like get old to you feeling like there's always something to work on? And her response was, no, honestly, like it's exciting to me because it's, I'm finding out more about myself. I'm learning more about who God wants me to be, who God, you know, made me to be, and that's exciting. And that kind of like changed my mindset around doing do an inventory. You know, I now look forward to the part, you know, if you know, actually going through the questions and get to the part of, you know, the dishonesty and what was my part in it, and starting to realize like, oh wow, like that was the motivating factor for me to do X, Y, and Z, and asking God to help me in that area, you know. Not always. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I'm not always excited to learn these things about myself. Sometimes it's a punch to the gut, but it is exciting to be in a spot where, you know, God helps me to grow more, and when I'm growing, that means I can be more helpful to the people around me, which has also taken on a new meaning because of this program. So, thanks.
Thanks, Albert. Yeah, you know, the God consciousness thing was very shocking. To truly believe in a higher power was pretty awe-inspiring. As we talked about, all of step 10 is about maintaining that spiritual condition, right? And, you know, I have to look back and say, like, where today have I been dishonest? Where have I, you know, lived in self-pity? Where have I tried to get ahead instead of just doing God's will? And what's funny is sometimes how reluctant I am to even ask myself those questions. You know, not only do I not want to call my sponsor because I don't want to hear it, is I don't even want to admit that to myself, right? And what this program has told me over and over again is when I'm hiding that stuff, it's not going to go away, and it's just going to get worse, right? And so I have to remind myself that. You know, I really appreciate what you said, is sometimes I'm like, man, why is everybody so angry? I'm just living in this gratitude and this serenity, and I'm super chill. Yeah, right now, until I am ready to burn someone's house down, right? I joke with friends that, like, I want to train crows to do my bidding, right? So that I can have them, like, go shit on somebody's car who cuts me off a truck. Like, I'm not gonna do it because they won't listen to me, but I've tried. And, you know, but that's obviously insane, right? You're welcome. But also, you know, I don't need to have foes, right? I don't need to have enemies. It's absolutely absurd. And half the time, these people that are my, you know, quote unquote enemies have no idea that I'm even mad at them, right? It's just some slight that I've made up in my head. I heard a comedian say the other day that she's been married so long and she knows her husband so well that she can have an entire conversation from start to finish and he's not even there. And that's what I'm like, that's what it's like to be an alcoholic all the time, is I will have an entire argument in my head and someone has no clue that I'm even upset, right? And so that is why I have to continue to take personal inventory. I have to, you know, look for areas in which I have been dishonest, self-seeking, you know, whatever it is, and I have got to let that go, right? I have to admit where I was wrong. I have to apologize when it crops up. And then I have to ask God to help remove these things. You know, I called my sponsor recently and I was like, I need a 10 step. And I was all riled up and I was going on and on and on. And then eventually she was like, just stop, stop talking. She's like, I'm just anxious just listening to you. She was like, I was having a nice day. And I was like, well, don't make me get the crows. And so she said, okay, we're 10 stepping right now, but, like, what does your 11th step look like? She was like, when was the last time you meditated? And I started to answer, and she was like, being in the car doesn't count. It's like, right. So, you know, that is what's so great about this program, is that when I think I need one step, and I talk to another alcoholic, I talk to my sponsor, I read my big book, I talk to God, whatever it is, it often points me to a whole nother step, right? And I love that. I love that it's okay, I need to take more time in prayer and meditation, and being in my car going to and from work doesn't count according to her. And she's right, you know, and that means I've got to set a daily reminder in my phone for a while to make sure that I sit with God. I'm alone with God and God alone. Because that is what every single one of these steps is a part of the program, right? And so I can't pick and choose the steps. And I don't care if I've only got 2 days sober or 25 years sober, every single one of these steps matters, right? And I have to do the 10th step daily, because if not, I will drink again. I have to do the 11th step and spend time with God, not just in my car, or not when I'm brushing my teeth, right? And in my head, I'm like, I'm multitasking, okay? But that is not what's going to work, right? That's an excuse that I tell myself. And the excuses are what I used, the justifications was all bullshit that I would tell myself and I would tell others as to why I kept drinking like I was, right? And the alcohol problem has been removed. I don't think about the alcohol anymore, but I absolutely will take over my will if I'm not giving it up to God. And, you know, this program never ceases to amaze me, because every time I think I know what I'm talking about, something happens and it reminds me that I'm full of shit, and I need to be quiet and I need to listen to others. And God has always been there. You know, I didn't listen. I wasn't aware of it, but God was always there if I was just willing to be quiet and do the next right thing. And every day in this program has been, the good days, the bad days have been 100% better than any day drinking. You know, I don't care how, and drinking was fun sometimes, right? There were some great times until there weren't, right? But even the shitty days sober beat the good drinking days. And I never in a million years thought that would happen. Never, ever, ever, not ever, nothing. But just to finish up what this paragraph says, right? We've developed this vital sixth sense, which is faith, and that's the only sense that I can continue to grow, is that sense of faith. But we must go further, and that means more action. And I'm so happy to be able to take that action every day and to be a part of this fellowship, because it saved my life, and watching it save others, you know, it's a miracle that all started because two drunks got together on accident and started talking about not wanting to be drunks anymore. And you know, if that's not proof of God, then I don't know what is. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
We're going to pass the baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition. Seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. A word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any AA-related announcements?
I have one.
Okay.
Hey, y'all, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Albert. My home group at AA 101, we're having our anniversary meeting on January 25th. It's Sunday, January 25th. We're going to be serving breakfast starting at 10 a.m. And there's going to be plenty of eggs and sausage and bacon and waffles, all kinds of good stuff. That's at 10. And then at 11, we have a wonderful speaker, Aubrey, who's going to share her experience, strength, and hope with us. So it's January 25th, starting at 10 a.m., AA 101, and we meet at the Sentara Norfolk Heart Hospital. Thanks.
Thanks, Albert.
Any other announcements? Okay, Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of, wait, we do have an announcement. Simple Actions quarterly supper and a speaker is February the 9th. In this room, we are having Connie V from Richmond. She will be here to tell her story. The food starts at 6 p.m. The speaker is at 7. Please come. Please bring food. That is, if you want to eat. That is February 9th, the second Monday in February. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available on the table to my right. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you would like to purchase a big book. Everything else is free. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. If you're a little bit shy, you can send us an email at info@simpleactions.net and someone will get back to you. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella. It's right up Colonial Avenue. In closing, can we please thank Albert and Aubrey again for sharing? Thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to come up front and thank them personally. In closing, I already said that. Travis has volunteered to read the last few paragraphs on page 164.
Hey, my name's Travis, an alcoholic.
Yes.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Excuse me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. The great fact, this is the great fact, though. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right, we have a nice way of closing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.